Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Hey friends, I'm Sharon McMahon, host of Here's Where It Gets Interesting. Each week, I speak with authors, experts, and thought leaders on everything from American history and democracy to how to be a better person on the internet. And don't miss my extremely popular docuseries, which educate you on things you never learned in history class. Follow and listen to Here's Where It Gets Interesting on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Could be Daniel Jones playing the Chiefs on Black Friday.
Oh boy, New York Post has got a story. Raiders emerge as more interesting favorite to land Daniel Jones.
What do you think about that, Mr. Briscoe? You're going to get Aiden O'Connell, Desmond Ridder, Daniel Jones. Oh my God.
You know, it really puts things into perspective. After a little bit of a frustrating game against the Panthers, where we got to watch Patrick Mahomes for 60 minutes, it really resets me on a Monday morning like this to think about a quarterback room made up of that three-headed monster.
I mean, think about all the other quarterback rooms waddling around the NFL and what some of these teams have. I mean, if you're looking at this point of the season to sign Daniel Jones, you might as well just give up for the rest of the year. And that's kind of where the Raiders are as they get ready to roll in here. We thought yesterday would be that get well game. Hey, maybe it's Friday afternoon against the Raiders on Black Friday, right?
I mean, it could be, sure. We also thought Christmas against the Raiders last year could have been that. And I don't even know what the Chiefs are getting right from, right? Getting right from close games, getting right from stressful games. I think the biggest thing that we learned yesterday is that the Chiefs' issues aren't matchup dependent, right? That it doesn't have to be Josh Allen and the Bills to pick on the weaknesses in the secondary or to take advantage of an underperforming pass rush. So I don't think it's going to be Aiden O'Connell or Desmond Ridder or whoever's playing quarterback for the Raiders. I don't think it's going to be quite as successful as even Bryce Young was yesterday, but I do have cause for concern in a few depths here, and I think it's just kind of who this version of the Chiefs really is at this point.
What's scarier, JB? The defense kind of coming down to earth, or the fact that Patrick Mahomes is beginning to scorch the earth?
I would say, good question, and of course it depends on if you are, the villagers seeing the dragon in the air, or if you're maybe the little dragons back at home wondering if mom's coming back.
No doubt.
Obviously, at this point, like, I am pretty concerned about the specific ways that the defense has come back down to earth, really just since the Jalen Watson injury. It's not some big mystery. I mean, all of these factors are intertwined, but that is the exact other side of this coin that I think should give Chiefs fans a little bit of confidence at this point, noting that the Chiefs have been in a situation like this before throughout so much of last year, and then you do get a scorched earth late game Patrick Mahomes scramble. You've seen him go into this mode several times now in recent weeks. Obviously, it wasn't enough against Buffalo, but I do think that is the stock up, stock down at this point, is that you're getting more and more worried about the defense, rightfully so, and you should be getting less and less worried about the offense as Patrick Mahomes starts doing the superhero thing as the weather gets colder. It's not a peak offensive strategy, but it's something the Chiefs always have in their bag.
Yeah, and I think for me, it's not necessarily about the defensive backs, or like, this defensive line has been non-existent. Chris Jones hasn't had a sack in 7 weeks. George Karloftis is on a milk carton right now. Like, those guys that were getting home and getting sacks earlier in the year are doing nothing at this point in time.
Yeah, and that's the interconnectedness of it all, because I do think, you know, when Charles Omenihu comes back, let's hope for the best in terms of how he looks coming off an ACL, and I have a little bit of skepticism. It's just a very hard thing to recover from in this tight of a timeline, but when the pass rush is better, the secondary always looks better. When the secondary plays better, the pass rush looks better. Those are two sides of the same rope that the defense is always tugging on. At this point, they've both essentially let go of the rope, and that to me is why you see it snowballing in the way that you have right now. I think maybe even more worried about the pass rush. And the Chiefs told you they were at the deadline by acquiring Joshua Uche. Like we talked about last week, it was 5 snaps last week, 11 yesterday for him. Maybe there's some juice to find and lower in that depth chart, but it really needs to come from Aminihu at this point, it feels like.
Well, but it also needs to come from Chris Jones. I mean, enough with the, you know, I got near the quarterback, like bring him to the ground. We're not doing these useless baseball stats that, you know, tell me you're a loser without telling me a loser with hard hit rate. Like, Jones is getting paid to sack the quarterback, and he's not getting that job done this year.
I'd argue that he's getting paid to affect the quarterback, as every defensive lineman is, or every quarterback hassler is. But also, I'd give you the ground on the fact that he has won some reps that he hasn't finished over the last few weeks. Like, whatever you said, 7 weeks without a sack. That's a long time for a great player to go without a sack. So that's absolutely true. I think that is, again, it's like, you know, McDuffie is in a comparison here, has had a couple of tougher games this season, but it's a little bit like saying, you know, well, Trent McDuffie doesn't have an interception. Why isn't this excellent corner creating more turnovers? Well, it's because smart teams aren't targeting him very often. Smart offenses aren't letting Chris Jones do any dictating of where the football should be going, because he's the only thing that they're planning for across that defensive line. And yet, he has played better football, and he has been more successful at actually bringing down the quarterback. So I do think there's a little bit there, but also he's the least of the problems on the D-line.
When you look at the defensive side of it and the possibility of Aminihu coming back, I think a lot of people are going to have expectations that should, you know, open the floodgates, per se, for a guy like Chris Jones. Do you expect Aminihu to kind of be that guy, or is it going to be a wait and watch for Josh Briscoe?
I'm gonna have to really slow play it, man. I love Charles Minihu on the football field. I think he's the second best pass rusher on this team when everybody's healthy behind Chris Jones. It's just such a quick turnaround from such a serious injury. Again, late January, AFC Championship game, tearing his ACL. That turnaround, there's the physical turnaround of like being able to get back on a football field. And then there's the process of getting further into football shape while you're actually getting reps. And then there's the mental aspect that players talk about all the time, how long it takes to get all the faith back into that knee. So if we could see Charles Aminihu looking anything like himself from last year by the time the playoffs begin, I'd be thrilled. I would settle out of court for that right now.
Yeah, and I think we all would at this point in time, but like, again, we're putting our eggs in the basket of a gentleman who hasn't played since January, you know. Yeah. and hoping that he comes back and can be a guy that brings the heat, if you will, along that defensive line. But like, if Chris Jones is the least of your worries, then what are your worries? Because George Karloftis is nowhere to be found. The other guys on the interior of that defensive line are nowhere to be found. Chris Jones is your moneymaker, right? Like, Dusty used the analogy earlier. If Aaron Judge went 2 months without hitting a home run, you'd be like, what the hell, man? Like, we're paying you to hit these home runs. Like, I think when you're a certain level player, and Chris Jones is in that category, borderline Hall of Famer, maybe Hall of Famer, the expectations are just higher than everybody else. And if we're relying on, you know, Mike Pinnell or Derek Nnadi or Turk Wharton to come up with these sacks, I think we're looking at it wrong. Like, you get the money, you get the sacks.
Yeah, it's just the fact that it is like a legitimate team sport across that unit, and that when you're talking about the 4-man pass rush against a 5-man line, you can almost always assume that 4 of those hands are going to Chris Jones. Again, that's where the offense has to start, which should theoretically make the degree of difficulty so much lower, so much easier for everybody around him. And that's where I get frustrated, because none of those guys are taking advantage of one-on-one matchups. You mentioned even Tershawn Wharton. He had a great start to this season, and he's fallen off since then. The Mike Pinnell and Derek Nnadi, like, run stuff guys who ended up getting, you know, almost 40 combined snaps yesterday. This is not a traditional pass rusher, but Leo Chanel ends up having these really, these frustrating games where he plays 20 snaps like he did yesterday. And you go, well, that's a defensive weapon, at least. I'm not saying they need to be, like, lining him up at edge, although it's kind of fun, a couple snaps here and there. But when you're looking at who's getting the work, it is Karloftis, it is Dana, Wharton, Pinnell, Derek Nnadi. None of those guys are producing any pass rush juice right now. Dana basically had a coverage sack yesterday. To the sack conversation, Mike Dana has a sack now. Fantastic. He had a fine play there. He didn't blow up a play. That was a win for the secondary. So it is a sliding scale for me in terms of how you judge affecting the quarterback. And while Jones has not been the singular force that you would like to see him be throughout a good stretch of these last several weeks, virtually nothing from anyone else is a much bigger issue for me. And that is Karloftis. That is Dana. Maybe we do see a little more Joshua Uche Touche. I know Spags is having some trust issues with him on early downs. I understand he's a different type of defensive end, but they have to continue trying to tweak that rotation because this right now is not good enough.
But 57 sacks a year ago and not even close to that at this point in time, and it's the same people back. Like, why do you think it's such a big discrepancy, I guess?
I think L'Jarius Sneed might be my first answer for you there in terms of, again, like where the secondary has fallen off. When you have a guy like George Karlaftis, who has a much more productive season last year than he's having this year, right? Well, how does George Karlaftis typically win? It's a lot of power and effort and relentlessness late into games. Well, right now, George Karlaftis is slow but consistent. Power and effort sacks from last year are turning into medium length completions against whoever Shamari Connor or Nazi Johnson is covering, or pretty frequently even challenging the safeties. Brian Cook and Justin Reed were both victims of out routes they couldn't close on yesterday too. So I think it's a matter of when the quarterback is getting rid of the football, and Mike Dana being a little bit banged up this year certainly isn't helping, but I think he and Karlaftis have both just taken a little bit of a step back in terms of what they're being able to show and how offensive linemen are responding to them. I think there's a little bit of film catching up, the world catching up on a relatively small bag of tools for Karlaftis and Dana in terms of the ways they win. And the way they won last year was really benefited by an elite secondary.
Briscoe, what's going on tonight?
We're going to try to make some sense of all of this. I'm going to continue to try to give you a little bit of hope about the fact that we have seen the Chiefs recover from I'd say a hole like this. This is the difference from last year, fellas. They are 10-1 at the top of the AFC.
Yeah.
Not that that means these issues aren't issues, but they're in a better place than they were when we were having some meltdowns around Christmas. So we'll try to break down some of that, maybe make you feel a little better about some things, maybe a little worse about some others in the Josh Briscoe Show tonight from 7 to 9.
All right, brother. We'll talk to you next Monday, and have a happy Thanksgiving, sir.
Appreciate it, fellas. You do the same.
Gobble, gobble.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Oh.